Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. A depressing half hour for Kevin. We talked about cash.
We're going to talk football next. That'll cheer me up.
Up to a point.
To a point you're going to cheer me up, or to a point we're going to talk about football?
Yeah, I'm not really worried about cheering you
up.
Yeah,
I figured that.
Now, just a little quick reflection on what Tony was talking about. And let's take college basketball, for example. I mean, this is something Penn State's talking about. You go around to other places and you see what other places are doing. Where are the Michigan State students in the Izzone? All around the bottom, right on top of the court. Okay, so that means behind us, behind the bench, although a few more, like the Steve Mariucci's usually behind Izzo's bench. But the students are all around that area. Ohio State moved their students to behind the benches. Maryland has their students behind the benches. Trying to think off the top of my head here. Illinois doesn't, but the bench area is so separate. I mean, they're redoing that place. I'll bet any amount they end up moving them because they're usually in the end zones and on the floor behind the TV people, but they're redoing that place. There's a big gap between the bench. There's another table of media, and then you get to the fans. I mean, so you're really separated from them. If you have a problem with the fans in Illinois, I mean, then you're a complete jerk. I mean, you're seeking out trouble. Let's see, Indiana, no. Purdue, no, they have them in the end zone. But the ones that have them behind the bench are Ohio State, Michigan, Maryland, Nebraska. Nebraska now does that, where they put the students behind the bench. On TV, it looks great. And that's the shot you want. Penn State students were on the other side. They took the cameras and they flipped it to the side where they could shoot the student body. And they took the court and they flipped it around and the whole thing. Okay, they did all that. Take the students and put them behind the benches. Flip the court around. Put the cameras, because the Jordan Center has camera wells on each side, so you can move the cameras. That's not difficult for TV at all. And now they're shooting the bench, which is what they want to do anyway. They want to be able to shoot toward the bench to begin with anyway. That is television's preference, and then have the student body there. Students on the 50-yard line, okay, I can go with students being from the 40, 30, all the way around the end zone, because I love having the students in the end zone. That one end zone, I love seeing that. Tony's right. I mean, there's more and more of a trend. Start doing this. That's the most influential crowd. Sound base in your crowd. The most influential sound base in your crowd are your students, no matter what. And television is an important part of this. And I was talking to a good friend of mine today about the new video boards in Beaver Stadium, and he was talking about the investment, that you have to make the investment to do that because of the home experience. But see, Jacksonville's going too far. Okay? Jacksonville is going too far with their experience. Hey, you know, it's going to be like home. No, I don't want it like home. I want to be like a stadium with a couple of amenities like home, like an HD board. That's what I want. What do you want when you go to the stadium, Kev? Well, besides the food.
I want to be able to use my smartphone. I really want to be able to use my smartphone. I want to be able to take pictures, post pictures, tweet. You know, a lot of places, it's very, very difficult to get anything to go through.
Wow. I have absolutely no desire to use my phone at the game.
No, I understand that. But, I mean, as from a fan standpoint, yeah, I want to be able to do that. And if I'm the stadium and if I'm the team, I want people to be able to do that. Because I want people saying on Facebook and Twitter that they're out there, and on Instagram taking pictures with their friends with the stadium in the background, because that's going to make more people interested in going.
Actually, Penn State has tried to do more with that. They put new cell towers up and things like that. I know it's still hard in there.
I mean, it's a step in the right direction.
I mean, a year and a half ago, I want to say, maybe 2 years, they put new cell towers in behind Medler Field at Lebrano Park. They did it deliberately, thinking they were going to get a better reception for everybody within the stadium. And that's why they did it. Now, I know up in the scoreboard, they're posting more Twitter and Instagram stuff and things like that. So I know they're doing that. I know it's completely different. I know it's different for me. I watch the game differently than you do, but you know, I'm really weird. I'm interested in the game.
but that's one of the things I think a lot of fans are doing as well. I think a lot of fans are tweeting and so on.
I'm sure they are. I have zero interest in it, and I don't want to throw the beanbag into the clown's mouth. I mean, I want to go to the game.
And that's okay.
But that's, you know. Donnie Collins joins us. Believe it or not, it's Donnie's anniversary, and he's taking time out to spend time with us. Well, first of all, happy anniversary, Don.
Oh, thanks, Steve.
You know, I mean, this is how you spend it, Donnie?
I'm in a mall right now.
There you go.
We went to the mall. That's how we spent our anniversary this year.
Perfect. At least for her sake, hopefully it means you spending. I mean, I guess that's how it... we've gone through SEC Media Day. We're in the process of Big 12 Media Day. Big 10 Media Day is next week. For you as a writer, I know you caught the rail writers you cover and so forth, but do the juices really start flowing now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the time. Once you see everyone heading to Chicago and the players start gathering and doing those first interviews, and then Media Day is right around the corner, you know it's college football time, really, especially when you're covering a non-contender in a baseball race. But you know, usually at this time of year, no matter how good the baseball team is I'm covering, your attention starts to focus on football a little bit. You start looking at depth charts and possibilities of who's going to be doing what. And this year with Penn State, it's a little difficult because you have the X factor with Franklin. You don't know quite what the offense is going to be. You don't know quite what the defense is going to be. So right now. Especially, it's a fun time of year.
When you sat down to look at that, you mentioned it's a little more difficult with a new coaching staff and also some limited numbers. What are you seeing in this roster that you say, okay, building blocks are here?
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of, it's similar to recent years, but the opposite of what you would consider like a typical Penn State roster from back in the day. I mean, it's a lot of talent at the skill positions, and you wonder about the lines. I mean, everybody talks about that. Everybody knows it. But, I mean, you're looking at an offensive line with, three guys you've seen play a lot, right. If that. So, yeah, that would be your big concern. You would look at the skill position guys and say, with the three running backs they have, and with Hackenberg and the tight ends, and, if they find, Geno Lewis or somebody to kind of step up for Robinson, they could be a really good offensive team, but you just wonder if they could block. And to me, it's the same on the defensive side. Could they get a pass rush? Is C.J. Ohanian the real deal? Could Deion Barnes be a little bit better than he was last season? Maybe more like he was for that half season as a freshman. So that's the things I look at. And you're used to look at the Penn State roster this time of year and say, all right, they're solid up front both ways. Now where do you go? With the skill guys, it's kind of opposite now, and that's because of the situation they're in, and they're breaking out of it. So, I mean, you would like to think that the times are ahead.
Now the next part, Maryland and Rutgers will certainly be the objects of incredible curiosity next week when they come in there, because it'll be the first time that Randy Edsall and Kyle Flood will meet with the media. And really, the media has had long-term exposure to both programs. And then the other one will be Jim Delaney's press conference because of all the issues in intercollegiate athletics today. Let's talk about the Rutgers-Maryland thing first. Do you like it, Donnie, to start with, especially being in northeastern Pennsylvania location? And B, what are your thoughts on how it plays out for them in this thing?
I like half of it. I don't think Maryland's a bad ad. They improve in basketball. They have a tradition there. I don't know how much football is going to be helped by Maryland, but certainly that's a, if you're looking at the big picture, I mean, that's a recruiting area for the Big Ten. That, Ohio State likes to be there. Penn State certainly likes to have a presence there. So that's kind of a Big Ten area that didn't have a Big Ten team. Now they do. They have Baltimore. You have the Big Ten Network now adding another city. I can understand that one. The thing about Rutgers is, I mean, to add them to try to get the New York market, and they're a bit sketchy to me anyway. Not anything to do with their program, but their athletic department's taking some hits lately. I just don't think that brings you, that guarantees you the New York City market.
Right.
Is that the school worth the gamble there? I know they had to add somebody, but if you're looking to add the New York market, add Notre Dame. There's so many Notre Dame fans in New York. It's scary. I mean, I would think if you ask the average New Yorker, where college football is not a big sport. But if you ask the average New York City, the guy from Manhattan who roots for in college football, it's Penn State or Notre Dame.
Right. Exactly. And now maybe Rutgers is a means to an end because Penn State's in there. I don't know. I see where you're going. But yet I would think for the fan in northeastern Pennsylvania, Rutgers is a possibility as a travel destination.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, Rutgers, I could probably tell you right now is a I've never driven it. It's probably a closer drive to where I live than Penn State.
Right.
But it's also, from what I've heard, a nightmare of a drive. with the traffic situation, and there's going to be, it's a smaller stadium there in Piscataway, so it's going to be a tight fit for Penn State fans, and Rutgers, all the Penn State fans are going to want to go there. So I just think it's, to me, that's an easy. I could see the Maryland. I see why they wanted Maryland. They don't see why they wanted Rutgers. I think there had to be a better option at that point, even if that option wasn't Notre Dame, and clearly it wasn't, or else they would have added Notre Dame.
Yeah, my two were Maryland, and actually it always was Missouri. I thought Missouri would be a great ad, but...
Yeah, in the same sense that Nebraska was. I mean, Missouri's right in Big Ten country. I could have seen Boston College, I guess, but...
Yeah.
Rutgers was, I think, they had to settle for something fast, and Rutgers wanted to do it.
The next part is, the other intriguing part will be Jim Delaney's press conference because of the unionization at Northwestern, because of the O'Bannon trial, and the variety of things that are going through with money in the NCAA. If you were to sit down and have two or three questions that you could have with Jim Delaney, what two or three questions, Donnie, would they be?
I mean, you mentioned the Northwestern thing. I'd want to ask him his genuine, honest take on that. Obviously, the NCAA stance is that they don't want a union. I mean, they don't think it's that. I think that it's my personal belief is that probably it's not great for the NCAA. Certainly, it would be great for the students who feel that now is the time for them to kind of jump on the bandwagon while the bandwagon's hot. I think they probably have the majority of support. In the country, I would say that they should get something for playing. But I want to hear what Delaney would have to say, because he's an honest guy. I think he's going to give you something that you don't normally get from a commissioner. Although, granted, what happened in the Big 12 the other day, I think we're going to get some honesty out of the commissioners here.
Yeah.
But I'd also really want to hear his take on. On the O'Bannon case, and see where that's going to go. I mean, we all know where the tide is going here. It's very obvious that that the students, the student athletes, and especially in the big sports, are going to get some kind of financial compensation, or be ruled that they should. Is it even feasible? I mean, how do you determine who gets money?
Right.
That's my question. Obviously, if you're looking at a Penn State roster and say, "Yeah, hey, we have this much money to give. Who gets more, Christian Hackenberg or the walk-on long snapper?" I don't know. I don't know how you say one deserves more than the other if they're all really doing the same job and on the same scholarship. So, I think the feasibility of all that, I think, is something that a guy like Jim Delaney would be able to speak to a lot better than I would probably comprehend on my own, because he's clearly thought about this stuff. Like I said, the winds are changing. We all know that this is coming.
Yeah, exactly, because do you give the field hockey player the same as you give a men's basketball or a football player? Well, Title IX says you have to. So how do you fund that?
Well, and the other thing that this does that I've thought about a little is it makes the traditional football school a lot stronger than the contending football school, and the traditional baseball school a lot better than the non-traditional baseball school. And because let's say you're paying the athlete something. Obviously, if the schools are determining what you get, a Vanderbilt program, let's just say that just won the College World Series,
right,
is going to take care of its baseball players a little bit better than Penn State would.
Right.
Not saying that they're recruiting against the same types of kids. They're obviously not at this stage, but that's something that I think that these guys who are in charge have to have been thinking about.
I think what was the old saying? It said, "May you live in interesting times." Donnie?
Yes.
We live in interesting times.
They've hit us. They've hit us hard.
Enjoy the mall. Happy anniversary.
Hanging out near the Pepsi machines and the shoe department, which is actually what it's called. It's not just a store. It's a public discount shoe store.
Well, Donnie, thanks for carving out some time, and congratulations, by the way, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your anniversary, and just thanks for fitting us in somewhere. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
That is Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, and we do live in interesting times. The symbol of that is Kevin Herr. We'll come back with his full analysis in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
All right, our thanks to Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, for joining us, and Tony Knopf, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, and Kevin's nemesis, who is with us between 3:30 and 4. What is it about Tony and talking about money and business that puts you off so much?
Because I never, until doing this show, I never thought of sports as a business. I just thought of it as sports.
What do you think this show is?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
It's business, my friend.
We're just fun for me, brother.
Sunbury Motors Studio.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We've talked a lot about issues today, about money today. Meanwhile, Kevin was all excited. Darren Ruff got called up.
Anything gets me excited about baseball right now when it comes to change.
Darren Ruff being called up?
There's hope. There's hope that he could actually be a player. I mean, can't be any worse than the outfield that's there now.
No, I suppose not. I mean, he was with the team last year.
Well, it looks like they've been trying to find a time to move him up, and they felt he was ready to move. And with the injury now to Mayberry Jr., the Phillies have made that move. Amont also, I think, got moved up today.
Who?
The pitcher.
Who?
Felipe.
Good luck.
Well, he's been up and down an awful lot for the Phillies.
Yeah, it tells you a lot.
It does. The teams around this area, other than the Pat, although the Yankees did get their money's worth, was it last night with Headley? Came in with a game-winning hit?
Knocked in the game-winner in the 14th inning last night, which was a great start for him. I mean, they've had no production out of third base this year to really speak of. He comes in, gets a big hit. He should do well in Yankee Stadium as the season closes out. Short porch. It's a hitter's park as opposed to Petco, which is not. He's apparently healthy right now, which he really hadn't been all that healthy in 13 and parts of 14. Guy been the face of the franchise in San Diego when he hit 31 home runs. He drove in 115 back in 2012. And he's in the final year of his contract, so it's going to be a question of whether the Yankees want to keep him when this is over. We'll find out. Darren Ruff being called up. I'm sorry, I'm not ready to say let's have a parade in Selins Grove.
Well,
have finally maxed out and changed.
But Chooch is up off the DL, I should say. That's good news.
Your team isn't good.
I know, but players I like are actually playing now. I mean, that's good for being able to watch the rest of the season. I mean, the guy hasn't played in over a month.
There are more important things in the world going on than that stuff, but that's fine.
Very true. No argument for me.
I mean, the only story that's worthy of telling in Philadelphia right now is who's going to go and
who's
going to
get traded, right?
I mean, Baltimore's in first place. They're 11 games over. I mean, so there's an area team.
Yeah, I keep forgetting about Baltimore. I have to admit, I keep forgetting about Baltimore. Sorry, I do.
They're well managed. Buck Showalter is a very good manager, so they're well managed. A big series right now with the Angels. I mean, the Angels are playing great baseball. Actually, have a better winning percentage than the Orioles do. But you look at the Orioles, they're fifth in hitting, fifth in slugging percentage, ninth in runs scored, so they get a lot of production. The area that they've got to be better at, they've got to be better at getting on base. Their on-base percentage is 16th. Now, the problem is their pitching. The Orioles' pitching has just been so up and down. I mean, the Orioles are only 26th in the league in quality starts. You know, they're 18th in ERA. Not bad. I mean, middle of the road. Batting average is 19th. You know, middle to back of the pack. The 26th in quality starts puts a lot of pressure. It's too much pressure to put on your bullpen every single night. I mean, it just really is. But they're a good club. The Nationals are relatively local as well. I mean, you don't seem to like them.
They're not relative. No. No. And by the way, Sarah Bartlett just threw something at me from the newsroom for forgetting Baltimore.
I didn't forget Baltimore, sir.
No, you didn't. You didn't.
I brought them up.
But I will not. I will not consider the Nationals a local-ish team.
Better than your team.
That's not saying much. Half the Major League, actually three-quarters of Major League Baseball is better right now.
But this is where plate discipline means something. The Nationals as a hitting team, I mean, they're 19th in hitting. So they're in that back half, okay, 19th in hitting. But why are they 12th in runs scored? Because they're 14th in on-base percentage. That means something. They're 12th in slugging percentage, too. So that's why they get just enough offensive production. Because when it comes to pitching, oh my goodness, they're first in ERA, they're eighth in quality starts, they're fifth in whip, 11th in batting average. I mean, Nationals just continue to have some just great pitching on that team. And you've got to, you're going to have to somehow get rid of, but the Phillies have, what, the third worst record in the National League? They're ahead of the Colorado Rockies, and they're ahead of the Cubs. Thank God for those two teams, huh?
Nats did get some bad news, though. It looks like Ryan Zimmerman will be out 15 days on the DL. That's his second time this year.
Yeah, well, it's not 15 weeks, so.
That's true. That's true. He's missed 44 games so far this year coming into this stint.
Offensively, the Phillies are 29th in slugging percentage. There are 30 teams.
I'm well aware.
28th in on-base percentage. I mean, their on-base percentage is 300. 300 is their on-base percentage. You know how bad that is? Batting average, 238 is the team, 28th. Run scored, 26th. Okay? And their pitching is doesn't compensate for it. 17th in quality starts, which I would expect. I would expect quality starts to be decent. So that's middle of the road, the 16th in batting average. But they're 22nd in ERA and they're 21st in WHIP. So,
by the way, Bartolo Colon on the mound for the Mets right now, probably the only Met right now that anybody's looking at for trade deals. Top of the fourth, Mets lead 1-0.
But he makes sense, though. I mean, makes sense.
He's agree.
He's an older guy, you know. He's an older guy that, you know, can go out there and plug some holes. So you're excited about a guy who's 1-for-11 on the major league level? Really? Holy cow. Boy, okay, let's talk sports.
The Rockies have tagged Steven Strasburg for 3 in the first. And
Rockies are a good offensive team.
Right now, let's see. Is it 3-0 for the Rockies? No, 3-2, top of the fifth now, with the Rockies leading Washington.
Well, typical of the Rockies, they are worse on the road than they are at home.
Oh, my goodness.
They're 16-33 on the road when they get away from the altitude.
My goodness, speaking of teams at home, Milwaukee's actually winning at home in the top of the ninth, 5-1. There's an unusual feat.
Well, if they do, it'll be their third straight home win.
Whoa, look out now. That's called a winning streak.
You know they're in first place, right? Your team is not. You do know that, right?
Painfully aware. Painfully aware.
They're actually at the top of the. You want to know how good Colorado is as a hitting team?
How good
first
is Colorado?
In batting average. They are approximately 50 points higher at the plate as a team than your team.
Okay.
Slugging, I mean, they're hitting .281.
Yeah, but we're talking about Milwaukee now, aren't we? Now you're talking about the Rockies.
Rockies. I mean, the Rockies got 3 off of Strasburg in the first inning.
Right.
Well, first of all, they're playing at home. Let's start with that.
Understandable.
Where they're better anyway. They're first in batting average, first in slugging percentage, third in runs scored, and they're fourth in on-base percentage. Problem is they're pitching. They're dead last in ERA, 30th, 29th in quality starts, 29th in whip, and 29th in batting average. And a lot of that is due to what they do on the road. Humidor or none. Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Kevin.
David, how are you?
Well, let's just think this way. I didn't know metamorphosis would happen that fast.
Okay.
Now, Steve, you know who I'm talking about.
I'm not on the same page with you right now.
Well, that guy that works the board for you.
He would be referring to me.
High expectation. Now he takes a 1 for 10, and he's happy for that.
Oh, listen, my expectations have gone down severely over the way this season's gone.
Okay, Steve?
It all started in spring training when he said they were terrible.
My standards have lowered significantly.
I'm terrible.
Okay. Wow.
That's what he said.
Look, when you're sitting there, I mean, in all due respect, I give Darren Ruff a lot of credit for making it to the major leagues again. He's really been on the Lehigh Valley to Philadelphia shuttle, okay? He's been on that shuttle.
Yeah.
And I saw him play. He played first base in the game I went to last year when they played the White Sox when Ryan Howard was out. Right? He is a guy that's good enough to be in the majors. Unfortunately, the difference is that I think he's good enough to be in the majors. Kevin sees a superstar that will carry them to greater heights.
No, that's my hope, but not my expectation.
Well, and the only guy that's really worthy about is over second base.
Yeah, he's a great. Yeah, they have a great player in Chase Utley. See, here's the problem with the Phillies. It's really simple. The Phillies did what, in my opinion, was the right thing. They picked out a core group of guys, and they said, "Let's build around the core group of guys." Now let's talk about the two mistakes they made. The two mistakes that the Phillies made is that one member of that core group needed to be an outfielder.
Yeah.
And was not. And number two, they massively overpaid and misjudged the market on everybody else. They overpaid on Ryan Howard. They overpaid on Rollins. I think they overpaid on Hamels. They overpaid on Cliff Lee.
Well, just my take, Steve, to be honest. The difference between Ruben Amaro Sr. and Jr. is wide in evaluating
talent. I'm sure it is. I mean, but if I sit there and I look at Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, Chuch Ruiz, Cliff Lee, Cole Hamels, that's a pretty good group to build around. Okay?
Yeah.
To build around. But they needed one of the guys to actually be an outfielder with some power. Now, I think they hoped it was going to be Dominic Brown, but Dominic Brown is not the answer.
Too inconsistent.
It just, for whatever reason, when he got hot, and then they overmatched him because, look, today with sabermetrics, they know what your hot spot and your cold spot is. And major league pitchers are so good, they can, for the most part, not perfect, but for the most part, can pick to the spot that's not your spot. It's then up to you to adjust. And he, for some reason, is having trouble adjusting. And he's had an entire year of not being able to adjust.
Well, I know of an outfielder they might be able to get because he's making demands. So L.A. will be moving him.
I think getting Marlon Byrd was an attempt to do what I talked about. He's got to go. I think they've got to unload Cliff Lee somehow because he's getting older. He's a gun for hire, and not only that, he can bring something in return because they can dangle his big game ability to a team in contention that I think is going to mean something and have a little gravitas to it. So I think they could get some prospects for him. Hamels, I think you've signed him, you've got him. He's pitched well. You build your staff around him, and he is your ace. And you leave him as your ace. Chase Utley, you leave him because, first of all, he's 35 to begin with. But you still want him around, and you have no choice with Ryan Howard. I'd move Rollins like that. If I could find somebody who would take him, I'd move him. Because they have enough young shortstops in that system that can play.
Well, I'll just say one little thing, and then I'll hang up and let you talk to the rest of the show. But Kemp out at L.A., he demanded to be moved back to center field or trade him.
Right.
Well, guess what? When you start making demands and you don't really have the full weight of that in front of it. They'll talk.
I agree with you, Dave. I agree with you. I think you're absolutely right, Dave. You start making demands, and you're at a stage of your career where maybe you ought to just sit there and say, you know what, I'm happy being the starting right fielder for the Dodgers. The other guy is better.
Well, see, when that injury was at his apex, and that injury right. happened.
Right.
Now that kid from Mexico come up through, or Cuba, then he went on house fire. I said, that just shoved you to the back burner, buddy, and you ain't going to get up front anymore.
Yeah, Yasiel Puig. And Puig has been... He may be undisciplined. He may play the game differently than other people. He doesn't quite do it by the book, but my goodness, he's dynamic.
And he hustles.
That's the thing. You know what? That's the part about McCutchen I love. McCutchen is an absolute star, and McCutchen hustles his brains out. He takes nothing for granted.
Yeah, so I'll hang up and listen, and you guys have a good day.
All right, Dave, thanks. Come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
He just told me Darren Ruff's statistics at Lehigh Valley.
Well, he was playing a little bit better than 265, but he's hit 265 right now coming up from Lehigh Valley.
Holy cow. My goodness, he's the next Jim Rice.
I didn't say that. I mean, if you're looking at the Phillies, if you're the Phillies front office, who do you see as being able in the minors right now that has a shot to move up? There's not a whole lot to get overly excited about.
There isn't. So you make a trade, get some people in.
I think that's going to happen.
I mean, there's nothing to get you juiced up about. I mean, all these fans that put those white flags up there.
Listen, why do you think I'm so excited about this week being time for everybody to report this to summer camps at football?
Yeah, but that will go by the boards by September 23rd when you're depressed about the Steelers. Okay?
No, I'll say by the end of the month, not the middle-ish part of the month.
I don't know.
Just keep in mind my bold prediction from yesterday in Cincinnati.
Oh, that's because you're an Andy Dalton hater. See, it's really hard for me to sit there and take analysis based on hate and disrespect as opposed to looking at it objectively.
Andy Dalton, done.
AJ McCarron will be starting by when?
I said by the end of the year. I did not say a specific time. I said sometime during the season he will start.
This is okay, minus an injury.
Minus an injury, yes.
Where he actually, like the poor performance, he's the guy.
Yes.